In the name of Jesus, amen. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Thus far, Luther. Sunday did not replace the Old Testament Sabbath day, which is Saturday. The early church began by separating the 2 days, the Sabbath, the day of rest, Saturday, on the one hand, and the day of worship, Sunday, on the other. It held its service of worship on the day of the resurrection, namely the first day following the Sabbath. Only later did it combine the days, and this for compelling, practical, but not absolute reasons. People wanted to celebrate worship on their free day, and Sunday was accordingly elevated to the status of a holiday or holy day. But even at this, we must remember that our Savior Jesus has fulfilled God's law for us. That's Matthew 5:17. That means our Lord Jesus has also fulfilled the third commandment for us as well. Thus, Luther writes in the Large Catechism, this commandment, therefore, in its literal sense, does not apply to us Christians. Luther, that is, we are not bound to any kind of legalism now that we have been set free from the bonds of sin. Luther says simply, quote, now all of the ordinances of the Old Testament have been made matters of freedom through Christ. For example, every single day is a holy day for the Christian, and no single day is holier than any of the others. But for us Christians baptized into Christ, Sabbath, or rest, has deeper significance and meaning. Keep in mind that the word Sabbath, which literally means to rest, listen carefully to what God's word states at Hebrews chapter 4. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Who or what is our Sabbath rest? The answer is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our rest. Matthew 11:28-29 records the words of Christ. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says that he gives us rest. He says that in him and through him we will find rest for our souls. Also, Jesus called himself Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of the rest, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel. That means he is God who commanded the Sabbath day to begin, as recorded in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, but the context of the Sabbath day is anything but random. The Sabbath is connected to God's creation. Recall that on the seventh day, God rested after he created all things and declared all things to be very good. In addition, the Sabbath day is given in connection also to the Exodus, when God's people were freed from slavery. But to have Christ in your life is to have life, and in him he makes you his new creation. That's why Christ is your rest. He has created you, and he has renewed you. Life overflows through Christ, your Sabbath rest creator. You rest in him because he is your source of life. You don't have to labor to live when you are in Christ, because Christ does all the work for you in giving you life. Furthermore, Christ is the one who's delivered you from the slavery of sin and death, a deliverance that's even greater than what the Israelites experienced when they were liberated from the bonds of Egypt. So that you also know Christ as your rest from slavery of sin and death. You can breathe easy now. Sin and death can no longer destroy you because Jesus is your rest, who took your sin when he put it on himself on the cross of Calvary and then defeated your death when he rose from the tomb. This is another reason Jesus is your Sabbath or your rest. And if that isn't real powerful and joyful resting, then we don't know what rest is. To be clear, rest that is restorative and keeps you with true peace, wholeness, and the best of what God intended life to be is not to be confused with, one, simply doing whatever you want with your free time, or two, physically resting on your bed, couch, or favorite chair. Indeed, human beings are not necessarily more rested and better rested the more time they have for rest. In other words, there is rest, and then there is real quality and holy rest. One kind of rest can easily be life-wasting, but the other kind of true rest is always life-giving. So, this is where Luther helps us tremendously. When he provided the meaning, the Christian meaning, for the third commandment, it wasn't about the legal observance of a day, but about how Christ our Lord confers rest upon our souls and our entire lives. Luther wrote, "Do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. That is, on the day we Christians come together for worship, be it a Wednesday or a Saturday or a Sunday or any day, we receive God's gift of resting through what he gives to us as we gather, namely his word." Think about it. The power of God's word was what brought the creation into existence. The power of God's word is what accomplished our salvation. Therefore, what is important when we gather is the word of God that keeps our faith alive in Christ. This is what makes the third commandment so vital to us. That is, God is inviting us to get together with him so that he can recharge and refuel our faith in Christ through the power of his word. This is what the third commandment is for. It is not what we got to do, but it is rather what we get to do with great joy and anticipation of being blessed with a living faith, not something that is here today and gone tomorrow, but a living faith that is preserved and nurtured and even strengthened through our ongoing reception of the word of Christ. In other words, the third commandment is about celebrating a feast in the presence of God. Albrecht Peters writes, "The idea of this observance and the one who affects it is Jesus Christ. On the Saturday before Easter, he lay the entire feast day free from all his works and thereby fulfilled his commandment for us. Following his observance of rest, he is raised from the dead, lives and now rules in God over all creatures. He wants to take us into this fulfillment of all things. He wants to bring us into the Sabbath rest. And he calls out to us." And this is the end of Peter's quotation. It's fantastic. He calls out to us, "You shall hallow the Sabbath day that I may work in you." So far, Peter's. Imagine coming before the living God when you receive his word, and he does all the work for you. What a gift. This is why we Christians desire to keep the third commandment. We come so that Jesus would continue to take all of our burdens, our sicknesses and our anxieties, our frustrations and our injuries, our weariness, and then work in us. We come so that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will serve us with his love and mercy, feed us with his gifts, and fill us with His Holy Spirit. The reality behind this commandment is God is calling us to meet up with Him as we live in this crazy world with all of its discouragements and scariness, so that we know the one place on planet Earth where our Creator and our Savior will meet up with us to serve us with His peace and rest, with sins forgiven, with anxieties lifted from us, and serve with the greatest love any of us could ever know, served by our best friend and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life so that we can now live and we can now rest. The blessing is the ability to meet up with Jesus and to rest in His presence, to enjoy His company, and to delight in His lifting us up. That's why we want to come to church. That's why we want to keep the third commandment. I remember that for the first several years of marriage, it takes a long time to try to get it right with my dear Tracy, that I struggled, as many young husbands do, and I've heard the load that many young husbands have shared over the years, to learn how to carve out time to spend with your wife. I was working hard, but I knew that our marriage also needed time. Work too hard, and I would seem to easily neglect our time together as husband and wife. Spend more time together, and I seem to get behind in work and begin to neglect my work. I felt for a while like darned if I do and darned if I don't. That perplexity, which is very disturbing. But in time, the Lord was teaching me that He gave me my wife not as a requirement or an obligation, but as a gift. The more I learned to be still and just enjoy the gift of her presence, the more I was made stronger to be able to work and do what God called me to do. I learned that the two were not in conflict, nor were they diametrically opposed, but investing in her as my gift would in fact make me stronger in my work. God does this with many things. He does it with prayer. It's easy to think that we don't have enough time to pray, but this just isn't true. Something wonderfully strange happens when it comes to prayer. When we invest the time, it's as if God extends our time to get the things done that need to get done. I see an analogy when it comes to physical exercise. Often I do not want to go to work out, but whenever I just do it anyway, I'm glad I did. It's pretty awesome to realize that after the workout, I feel more energy than I did before the workout. But all of these examples pale in comparison to going to worship to receive God's life-giving word and His gift of loving rest for our souls. There is, however, another reason we should happily live in the Lord's third commandment, Luther. Let me tell you this. Even though you know God's word perfectly and are already a master in all things, you are daily in the devil's kingdom. He ceases neither day nor night to sneak up on you and to kindle in your heart unbelief and wicked thoughts against these three commandments, the first three, and all the commandments. Therefore, you must always have God's word in your heart, upon your lips, and in your ears. But where the word is idle, and the word does not make a sound, the devil breaks in and has done the damage before we are aware. On the other hand, the word is so effective that whenever it is seriously contemplated, heard, and used, it is bound never to be without fruit. It always awakens new understanding, pleasure, devoutness, and produces a pure heart and pure thoughts. For these are not lazy or dead, but are creative, living words. So far, Luther. with a word we receive in the sermon and in God's holy services, though granted, many sermons today exclude the word and replace the word with something else. And it's your responsibility as Christians, like the Bereans, to always be sure that the pastor is preaching the word of God and nothing else. Luther says that when the word is preached, get a load of this, the devil is put to flight and he is driven away. Luther. Indeed, to understand the importance of the third commandment is to understand the spiritual battle between the devil and the Lord, between sin and grace and darkness and light. When we come to worship and receive the word, two things happen. Our old man that wants to rebel against God is slain. The new man that walks with the Lord Jesus Christ is raised up. Divine worship is a macrocosm of our living and our baptisms and our daily drowning of the old and rising according to the new. It gives us everything. It is a powerful and superabundant dosage for being renewed and strengthened in the saving faith. Trace and I had not purchased a new car in many years. But towards the end of her hospital stay, I got her a new ID Buzz VW van, which she has named Bluey. It is completely electric. It's a great car, and it's a fun car. But when we travel, we must plan. So on the way to our last vacation to Sedona, Arizona, we had to stop in Indio to charge up. Then we had to stop in Quartzsite to charge up. And finally, we had to stop in Buckeye outside of Phoenix to charge up. And with all that, the trip went smoothly, and we arrived safely to Sedona. Our life's journey is like the people of God, is like that people of God. But our charging station is not Electrify America or a Tesla station. It is the word of Christ that gives us life beyond days or weeks or months or years, but gives us life that is eternal, that eternally knows the God of peace. Thus, we are called to a holy allegiance, a loyalty to the word of Christ in the third commandment. There are many words in this world, so-called words or sacred writings or scriptures, to go along with almost 5,000 distinct world religions on planet Earth. Satan has his word. People have a vast variety of words, but there is only one word that gives us rest. And because that word of Christ is so precious, so holy, and so unique, you can bet your bottom dollar that the principalities and powers are trying to keep you and me away from it. Thus, we are tempted to despise the word of Christ. What does it mean to despise the word of Christ? Number one, there are three examples I'm going to give you. What does it mean to despise the word of Christ? Number one, it means to be unwilling to hear and learn the word. Number two, it means that we go to divine service only out of habit. Number three, it means that we go for greed or carelessness, which is only to gain the reputation of being a true Christian, without genuinely seeking God. But if anyone despises the word this way, when there is no effort to hear, to listen, to learn, nor to apply, then the word goes in one ear and out the other, and we really don't care. This is the mortal sin of acedia. Acedia, which is profound apathy or sloth. Such a sin can kill faith and lead to a lost soul. Such a person cannot rest even if they go on vacation. Find an idyllic spa. Put their feet up all day long. Go on a safari. Hunt the most exotic game. Experience great exhilaration. All these things will be like eating food that goes in and then goes out, and rest is never had. We are called to allegiance to the word of Christ, and this is why the third commandment is so wonderful in our lives. Jesus teaches at John chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, the sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd, And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Our allegiance is to the Good Shepherd because we know his voice. We follow him, will not listen to the false word of a stranger. Only one word is for us, the word of Christ. This is the word that keeps us as God's good creation. This is the word that keeps us in the forgiveness of sins. This is the word that gives us eternal life. This is the word that we will not despise, but the word that we delight in because it gives us rest. It is the word that gives us Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. Amen.